Okay. Very good. Very good by that. So the item that's under old business is 37 Pine Drive. This item appeared before the board. It was a petition to request a 2-foot fence height variance to allow an 8-foot fence in the side yard of property at 37 Pine Drive. The board continued this item from the March 28th meeting with the intent for the applicant to seek design alternatives to address some of the concerns that were brought up at the time. Let me show you where we kind of left off here. This is a map of the subject property at 37 Pine Drive, just off of Gamble Road. And this is a photograph of the fence as it existed at that time. This fence is at least 8 feet in height, which is not permitted in the side yard of a residential dwelling. This is an updated photo taken about a week ago. Staff has been reaching out to the applicant regarding their design alternatives that they were supposed to bring back to the board. We have not heard back. Reached out to them on several occasions. They don't appear to be present today. Under the March petition, based on the findings in the report, we recommended denial. We don't have any new evidence to support changing that recommendation, so we're still recommending denial. If this petition is denied by the board, then it'll become a code compliance issue for Chatham County, and they'll have to address the removal of the section that is 8 feet in height.
I recall this hearing, Mr. Lotson. We gave this petitioner a lot of leeway with an opportunity to come back to us.
Yes, sir. I believe the board's intent was for the applicant to come back with a design that could include the height in some other form,
right?
Whether it be lattice or vegetated or some design that you could evaluate. But that, again, I haven't received any new information and made several attempts to contact.
What I note about this photograph is the paneled fence seems to be 6 feet or roughly 6 feet in height, but there is a structure 2 feet above it.
Right.
And he hasn't applied or made any request to do anything with that additional 2 feet.
That's correct.
Okay. Is there anyone here to speak for or against this petition this morning? Anyone on the phone this morning? All right. Any discussion by the board? It would seem to me, just looking at this photograph, that the petitioner is in progress of making an 8-foot fence of some sort.
I would not disagree with that assessment.
All right. Any discussion?
Mr. Lotz, on this, Mr. Vineyard, is the the paneled part without the upper, whatever that is that in compliance?
We can't be certain of that, okay, because we hadn't gone through any process to achieve this fence. Based on observation, I think it might be, but the original portion certainly is not.
But he hasn't sent any new drawings, or
no, in fact,
you said he's not even been in. Okay.
Correct.
Do I hear a motion?
Mr. Chairman, I make a motion in light of the issuance and the evidence that we see before us that this petition be denied as staff has recommended.
Do I hear a second?
Second.
All right. All in favor of denial of the variance, say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Aye. All opposed? None. Mr. Lotson, the next step will be what with this petitioner?
Well, the petitioner was already in a in code compliance with Chatham County, so they will continue to seek remedy to getting him compliant.
All right. You can lead him to water, but you can't make him. All right. Next matter on the agenda is 2 Marsh Island Lane, variances to the 25-foot minimum rear setback and the 35-foot minimum marsh buffer setback. All right, maybe we hear from staff, please.
Yes, good morning, Chairman and County Board members, Melissa Leto, MPC staff. The petitioner at 2 Marsh Island Lane is requesting variances to the minimum marsh buffer setback and to the minimum rear yard setback requirements. The two requested variances would allow the property owners to add decking over the existing concrete elevated rear porch. Let me show you some photos. So here's an area where the stairs to the rear of the property go to the existing porch. And this is the existing porch. It's concrete. And this is the area where they're proposing to extend or apply some decking and extend it out and screen in and then cover it with a roof area. Okay. The two requested variances would allow the property owners to add decking over the existing concrete elevated rear porch, extend the deck, and construct a screened-in and covered porch in a section of the rear yard porch to the rear of the property at 2 Marsh Island Lane. The requested variances are the following: a 22-foot encroachment of the 35-foot county marsh jurisdictional buffer, a 5-foot encroachment of the 25-foot rear yard setback requirement. Here is a survey. So here is the original DNR line, and then it extended while they were, while the property was already existing, the residence was already built, and the new property owners purchased the property and were wanting to do an improvement on their screen porch, and we realized that the state marsh buffer line had extended into this black dotted line area, which is already encroaching into the house, and then with the additional 10-foot county marsh buffer, it encroaches even more. And so this is the area of scope of work of where they are planning to. So technically it encroaches 5 feet into the rear yard, which is this area. It is the 25-foot rear yard setback. And then technically 17 feet into the new DNR line with the additional 10 feet of the county, which makes it 22 feet of an encroachment of the marsh buffer. The parcel is approximately 1.06 acres or 46,173.6 square feet in size and is located in the Planned Unit Development Environmental Overlay Zoning District and the Landing Subdivision. The property is positioned southwest of Marsh Island Lane. The single-family residence was constructed approximately in the year 1996. So there are 8 lots fronting Marsh Island Lane that are impacted by marsh. Parcels to the southeast numbering from 4 Marsh Island Lane over here all the way down to 8 Marsh Island Lane have rear yards facing marsh. The 3 parcels southwest include 1 Marsh Island Lane, 2 Marsh Island Lane, which is the subject property, and 3 Marsh Island Lane. They have rear yards facing a lagoon. The lagoon is not a traditional marsh, but the Department of Natural Resources, DNR, made the determination that it is tidally connected. Here are some proposed elevations and renderings that the architect submitted. So this is the existing rear porch. What they're going to be doing is removing this area, or they're going to be adding decking, actually, and then extending it with a wooden post, and then screening in just this portion of the rear porch. So this will be added, the roof and the screened-in area, and then the extension with the wood post. They already have steps, and this is already existing, the layout. And this is a pictogram of, like, what it may look like, the extended roof. Going through the variance criteria, the development pattern surrounding the subject parcel includes parcels with similar lot widths and lot areas as the subject parcel. Staff finds there are no extraordinary or exceptional conditions regarding the size, shape, or topography of the land. The existing residence encroaches into the marsh buffer setback. Since the property was built, the marsh buffer setback has moved further into the property owner's rear property. Any further encroachments, such as the proposed rear porch, would be considered as an expansion of the existing nonconformity. The fact that the 36-foot marsh buffer setback has naturally encroached further into the property owner's rear property is a hardship. However, the applicant is proposing to expand a portion of the rear yard porch 5 feet into the required 25-foot rear yard setback and 22 feet into the existing 35-foot marsh buffer setback for a screened-in covered porch, which is not a hardship. There are conditions that are peculiar to the piece of property involved. The rear yard and a portion of the rear residence is currently placed in the minimum required 35-foot marsh buffer setback. However, the proposal to encroach further into the required marsh buffer setback and encroach 5 feet into the required 25-foot rear yard setback for a proposed expansion of a screened-in covered porch is not peculiar to the particular piece of property involved. Variances to the regulations in this case are likely to impair the intent of the zoning ordinance and expand on the existing nonconformity. Going to highlight the recommendation. Staff's recommendation is based on the findings identified in the staff report and the variance criteria. Staff recommends denial of the petitioner's request to encroach 5 feet into the required 25 feet rear yard setback, as well as encroaching 22 feet into the required 35-foot marsh buffer setback. However, if the Zoning Board of Appeals chooses to approve the requested variances, MPC staff recommends the following condition. There shall be gutters placed on the new roof designed to direct water flow away from the marsh. I'm here for any questions, as well as the architect and property owners are here.
Does the board have any questions of staff at this point?
Ma'am, the new owners purchased this property after the expansion of the marsh buffer.
Yes, they did. They weren't aware that there was an expansion or that it was even a state water buffer requirement. And they were just looking to improve, to have a screened in area against the mosquitoes and whatnot. And that's when it all came about with the DNR.
Thank you.
Any other questions? May we hear from the petitioner, please?
Good morning.
All right. Would you introduce yourselves, please?
My name is Greg Adamski. My husband, David Marbury.
David Marbury.
We're the owners.
And I'm Joy Reno, the architect. Good morning.
All right. Would you raise your right hands for me, please? Do you swear to tell the truth, the whole truth, nothing but the truth, so help you God?
I do, yes, sir.
Thank you. Now, who's up first?
I guess I'll be up first.
As a part of our submittal package for the variance request, we gave a listing of some of the hardships and the reasons behind the design and also just the desire to make this project come to fruition. So I'll just read off of this. I'm not sure if you have read this. The owners want to add a modestly sized new screen porch on top of a portion of the existing concrete terrace. The variance is for a 5-foot reduction within the 25-foot rear yard setback and a 22-foot encroachment within the 35-foot marsh buffer setback, see plans as you did. The new porch and existing terrace is designed to be level with the existing house floor level to allow aging in place. This also provides much-needed outdoor screened-in living space that is handicap accessible for the owner's family members. The overall size of the new screen porch allows for wheelchair access around the tables and chairs. The new porch is designed for minimum environmental impact. A sophisticated drainage system, including gutters and downspouts, is included, and drainage shall be directed away from the existing lagoon and away from adjacent neighbors. The new addition will not negatively impact the area. See attached letters in support of this. So we included in the submittal package a letter from Mr. Jefferson Kirkland and also the DNR stating that this new addition with minimal impact on the existing grade really doesn't impact the environment or the site itself or the tidal lagoon. The existing concrete terrace shall remain in place to avoid disturbing existing soils. Again, minimal impact on the environment. The new nonconforming addition footprint only adds approximately 120 square feet in addition. The new porch is elevated on support piers and is open beneath to create permeable ground. The owners were not aware their property was adjacent to a tidal marsh when they recently purchased it. Approximately 90% of the lagoons at the landings are not tidal, so this is a very unique situation. The screen porch addition was approved by the Landings Architectural Review Committee, which is attached. And adjacent neighbors, I think there are three of them, also sent letters of support.
Mm-hmm. If you have any other questions, we'd be happy to entertain them.
I have a question.
Chair.
I have a question.
Yes, go ahead.
Did you explore any design alternatives that would have, I guess, left the footprint consistent with what the existing footprint is now to make that work?
Yes, we did. We explored, actually, we've been working on this for over a year, many different alternatives. The reason for the placement of this addition, their existing house is kind of public versus private. This end of the house is the existing kitchen living space. The complete other end of the terrace is their private master suite. So, you know, in a perfect world, their party space, their screen porch for entertaining, things like that, would not be right next to their bedroom. Hence the placement of the structure. And, you know, originally it was going to be more elaborate and enclosed and, you know, kind of match the existing terrace, which is stuccoed and everything like that. In talking with Jefferson and DNR representatives, we
came under the conclusion that would be best for minimal impact just to have support piers and everything wide open underneath. So we're not creating more impermeable land, so to speak. We're opening that up so that any rainwater or anything can soak into the ground and not impact the tidal marsh.
Is that going to be covered by roof?
There is a roof on top of the screen porch, correct. Okay. But a gutter drainage system, again, their lot is over an acre. So there's plenty of room to put that drainage within the site proximity.
Other questions?
As you might imagine, this puts us in a very difficult situation. I live out there. I'm perfectly familiar with all the problems associated with living on lagoons and tidal marsh and all that. And I don't know what we could do to help you, but I mean, that's what we're in the business of doing, but we're in the business of also following the law. And is there, I went out there and looked from the street because I didn't know whether or not anyone was home. So I parked on Peregrine and walked over there. Is there no way to use the existing footprint and have a porch?
So the existing terrace is very small.
Okay.
Literally, I mean, we've tried to sit out there and have meetings, and they have a little round table, and you're doing this, going around it, hence the reason. And it's not a huge expansion. I mean, really, we're also elevating the floor level of the existing terrace. Right now, you step down 3 steps. And as we all know, all my clients, we want age in place, we want handicap accessibility, 3-foot doors, et cetera. And so that was part of the impetus of this project as well. But if it's to be handicap accessible, it's just too tight. And for a house of this style, and it's a stunning home.
Oh, it's a beautiful house.
But the outdoor, outdoor living space is bare minimum. And I think we've been through this conversation before in previous zoning meetings. So we were trying to work with an existing footprint, fully knowing that I know this is complicated. I know it's a sticky situation. Which is why we've been working for months and months with the zoning board and with Jefferson and others to try to make sure that we are not doing anything to impact that existing site. And we have letters, multiple letters in support of that saying, it's not going to do a thing. You're not hurting anything, not hurting anybody. We're just putting a roof over an existing terrace. That doesn't change the permeability factor at all. So, yeah.
See these stairs in this photo? This is the table we're talking about. You can't pull the chairs out. That's typical of this patio space. It's very narrow. We're just proposing to cover those stairs. Keep in mind, we're raising the deck with wood, using wood. You can't really see the 3 steps down to the concrete, but we're raising it up and then we're covering over those stairs. That's actually all we're doing. And then past the stairs, we're extending about 5 feet. Also keep in mind that as Jefferson, the minimum impact of the supports of the deck, we're not using impermeable structure beyond those stairs. It's just a post to hold up the raised deck. I just thought.
Yeah, I'm not sure that covering the steps is the problem. It's the 5 foot that is the problem. I mean, it's not your fault, certainly, that the buffer is there, and most or a lot large part of this house is already non-conforming in terms of the buffer line.
So is the 5 feet encroachment, would 4 feet be more acceptable?
Did the landings, the architectural committee approve this?
Yes, sir.
I assume they did. You wouldn't be here. Okay. And they had no concerns.
And that was back in November.
Okay. Pardon? Oh. Hmm. And why was that?
Because they received approval prior to applying for the variance. And so they were.
I'm not sure
that that's correct. I'm not sure.
I'd have to date back our drawings, but yeah, I'm not sure. They may have been aware of that, but that's not their jurisdiction. So then they would put the burden on you all to do that.
Yeah, the landings board doesn't, they look at the architectural design of it.
Yeah. So I'm not sure. They might have been aware. Again, it's been a long process. I don't remember the drawings they've had.
Can you return back to the plan view?
Yes, ma'am. So here's the existing stairs from that photo. These are the stairs right here. There's a matching set over here. Stairs going down, stairs going down. So we're just extending, we're putting a post right here. And as Jefferson has recommended, it's minimally invasive. So the deck is raised up off the ground. I'm sorry.
So the point there that's the closest to the lagoon.
Yes, sir.
How far is this from where the final step is?
5 feet, I believe.
5 feet.
Yeah, 5 or 6 feet from the edge of the step. So the edge of the step is just within the setback, the rear yard setback.
Okay.
So we're asking for just 5 additional feet.
But how close to the lagoon are you?
The lagoon is here, right here. That's the water line. Yep, right there. That's the water.
And then the county marsh buffer is the red dotted line here, which makes it the 22 feet for the marsh buffer setback. Otherwise, it would be 17 feet for the state. All right, and then it becomes 22 feet with the additional 10.
Well, the county marsh line, I mean, third of the house is non-conforming.
Yeah. Well, when you originally bought the house, the plat we were given before the purchase was showing this line was the county line. So we bought the property. After which we were informed that it's now under the house. Just FYI, just for your information.
And it wasn't even disclosed to them that it was a tidal lagoon. They thought it was just like all landings lagoons, just a,
like a man-made body of water.
So we won't even go into
that.
Hear
that all.
I didn't close that transaction, right? I had nothing to do with it.
Don't go there. Is that what you're saying?
They just want a screen porch. The bugs.
Well, what's hard for us to comprehend is now half of our kitchen and our living room is in the marsh. That's awesome.
Oh, God.
Well, gentlemen, I'll say this. I came here not particularly in the mood to see this approved.
Which is customary.
Yes, I'm a stickler in terms of following the rules. But you are in a very atypical situation. I mean, I live over in Moon River, and my backyard is probably I could reach out from my back porch and touch where the landings right away is. So I'm probably not within the boundary either, but and I live in a new house. So I know how things are out there. Does anyone have a suggestion?
I'd like to hear from Mr. Kirkland on this, if you mind.
Good morning, everybody. I'm Jefferson Kirkland, the Chatham County's Environmental Program Manager. I'm happy to answer any questions you have.
Why is this appropriate, Mr. Kirkland?
Well, as far as the buffer that I enforce, the proposed work meets the definition of a minimum impact. It's a pier in the state waters buffer. So the regulation allows for that sort of minimal impact. Again, the buffer that I enforce is triggered by land disturbing activity. Its sole purpose is to prevent pollutants from moving from the upland area during construction into state waters. So once the construction is done, my buffer goes away. The county buffer is the one that exists regardless of what's happening on the property. I will say I was pretty surprised that this lagoon was considered coastal marshlands. That's highly unusual. When I went out there to do my site visit, I had to double check that I was in the right place, because normally these lagoons are not, they don't meet the definition of coastal marshlands. So you've seen plenty of variance requests on lagoons and the landings.
I'm looking at two parallel dark lines here. Can someone define for me what those two are, the railroad tracks there?
So the top line is the property boundary,
mm-hmm.
and then the lower one is the 25-foot rear yard setback.
Okay.
That's the same as the state waters buffer on this particular parcel.
What's the possibility of cutting off that isosceles triangle that invades or encroaches over into the 25-foot?
Could we
I was going to suggest the same thing, Mr. Chairman. I mean, that would, gentlemen and lady, that would solve this problem.
Could we reduce it? Because cutting it off would be
a roofing nightmare.
Okay.
Would
a design.
Would you accept instead of 5-3, just reduce it a little bit? I worked really hard to get those roof lines to work with those crazy hips, so that's just my personal request as a designer. So the impact would be a little less painful.
Before I offer an opinion about that, tell me about this drainage. Where are you draining this water to?
Tell me about the drain. There's a
there's a swale.
Go ahead.
Yeah. we had the entire site survey, which we don't have included here, but there is a swale going around almost the entire perimeter of the property, came existing, so we would tie into that swale. It keeps everything on the property itself and away from the marsh.
And this swale does not at any time point toward the marsh, does it?
No, sir.
Let me make a point there. Drainage is allowed into the marsh. Ideally, you would allow, rather than directing a pipe directly to the marsh, a swale is a better way to discharge into the marsh. It gives the water chance to slow down, filter out any potential pollutants. So there's no regulation that states that a swale cannot, and frankly, there's no regulation that says a pipe can't be directed to the marsh. We just ask that folks try to handle their drainage in a little more environmentally friendly way.
If I could add, on each side of the house, right now, the downspouts do empty out towards the marsh. We've suggested that with this project, we might direct that around the house and then down. So there is an opportunity for improvement, again, to slow down the water as it comes off the roof and down the downspouts to go out the side of the house rather than right now, the way it was installed, it goes right directly towards the marsh.
Have you considered some sort of cistern to put that water into so that it could drain below the subsurface?
That's an interesting question. Because of the water table, I'm not sure we could engineer a cistern for this property.
But they're likely to float.
We put septic systems in all the time, don't we?
It's a different department. We can have that discussion offline.
The permeability of their site, I think, is pretty high as far as being able to soak, rainwater.
So the offer on the table right now, if I can put it so bluntly, is to reduce back 2 feet. I mean, what's that going to do to your outside? It's going to reduce it 2 feet along the bedroom wall there as well, isn't it?
If you push it back 2 feet, you're going to be in consistent line with the existing terrace.
Mm-hmm.
See, if we take it from here straight over,
okay,
that should give us what you need.
Yep, we'll still have that point, but it'll just be back closer towards the house.
This is the family room. These are sliding glass doors here. And so the couch is here, and we're looking out that way. We're looking
this way. Is that going to present any problems for the sliding doors?
They'll be replaced.
Okay.
Yeah, the kitchen is here.
So money's not an object, then.
What?
Money's not an object.
Money's not an object.
Oh. Questions, suggestions?
I suggest, can I make a motion? I move to approve the applicant's request under the condition that you set the porch back 2 feet and drain away from the marsh.
What should we call that? The northern corner? I don't know whether it actually is or isn't.
It is the northern corner, yes.
So if that northern corner comes back 2 feet, that triangle is going to be reduced significantly.
Yes. Mr. Chairman, contrary to my earlier intentions, I can't believe I'm doing this. But I am. I will second the motion. Gentlemen, I'll tell you, it pays to be flexible. We're not here to really hurt anybody. Just here to follow the rules as best we can. And when, just like you heard in the previous case, we tried with him and he didn't even show up today. You all are here and have offered a reasonable suggestion. Plus, there is a real problem. I mean, I went over there and looked, so I'm familiar with all this. So I second the motion.
All right. Before I call for a vote, what about your neighbors?
We have letters. We have approval letters from them on either side.
Okay, did I?
The Whittakers.
Were they in the record?
Larson's.
They should have been in the.
Somebody, I didn't see those. Okay.
And these are big lots.
Yeah, large lots.
Yeah.
And then. So there's a letter of support number one, a letter of support number two, and then I didn't add number three, but it's.
And these are your neighbors on either side?
Yes, sir.
The Larsons are on the south and the Whittakers are on the north. One and three.
That's 4 Marsh Island Lane, letter of support. Three Marsh Island Lane, letter of support.
This I also think is a precedent. I've never seen two people on the at the landings agree on anything. Okay. All right. We have a motion on the floor with a second. Let me call for a vote. Do a voice vote. All in favor?
Aye.
All opposed? You got your variance.
Thank you very much.
Thank you for showing up and being so cooperative.
No, that's quite all right. Very persuasive.
Thanks, Thank you. Thanks, Jefferson. Well, thank you. Good day.
It's funny how things change. Well, it just, yeah, they did.
All right. Next matter is, let's see, what is it? 5 Laurel Oak Court. May we hear from staff, please?
Yes, sir. At 5 Laurel Oak Court, the petitioner is requesting a 7-foot rear yard setback variance from the 25-foot requirement to reduce the rear setback at address 5 Laurel Oak Court from 25 feet to 18 feet for the construction of an enclosed porch. Show you the location map. The subject property is located on the east side of Laurel Oak Court, south of Wedgefield Crossing in the Southbridge subdivision. It is a conforming lot of record and is developed with a single-family residence constructed in 1988. The petitioner is requesting a reduction in the rear yard setback to accommodate the construction of an enclosed porch on the northwest corner of the home, which is shown through the dotted yellow lines is where the proposed porch would be extending out to. The lot is in a planned development with a minimum rear yard setback of 25 feet. The extension to the home as proposed would require a 7-foot reduction of the rear yard setback from 25 feet to 18 feet. The proposed porch would be 10 by 13 feet and would align with the edge of the existing residence. Show you another image. Okay, so this is the site plan that was provided. So this is the existing single family residence. And then this is the 10 by 13 proposed screened in porch. There are extraordinary conditions pertaining to this particular piece of property. This lot is separated from lots to the rear by a significant vegetative buffer and a lagoon. These features obscure the proposed addition and lessen any visual impacts that may occur. The applicant is not suffering any undue hardship. However, the proposed addition is in keeping with the development pattern in the neighborhood. The subject property is affected in particular because of its relation to the wooded area on the rear. Homes which abut this particular common area enjoy a significant buffer and additional separation from their neighbors. Based on previously stated findings, a variance in this case would not impair the intent of the zoning ordinance. It is unlikely that this variance will affect the neighborhood or uniformity of houses in any noticeable way. Staff is recommending approval. Let me bring you to that recommendation. Of a 7-foot rear yard setback variance from the 20-foot rear yard requirement for 5 Laurel Oak Court. Is the petitioner here online? Okay, I wasn't sure. Okay. I know Marcus Slotson did come out and visit the site and speak to the property owner and the neighboring property owner. And he reviewed the area of encroachment.
All right. Any questions of staff?
Has there been any public response either way on this? Do we have any letters or for or against?
No, I don't believe so. It's not on the record.
Okay. You state here that there are other homes in the general area which have encroachment issues. I suppose.
Yeah, I believe like there's common areas that have screen porches that also are encroaching.
All right. Are the petitioners available this morning? No?
She's an elderly lady, so I believe that this kind of was hesitant in coming into attendance.
All right. Discussion from the board?
No discussion.
Okay. Do I hear a motion?
I move to approve.
You move to approve the variance.
Yes.
All right. Do I hear a second?
Second.
All right. Mr. Pelot, second. A voice vote, please. All in favor?
Aye.
All opposed? None. Variance approved. I hope the lady does well.
Thank you.
Any other business this morning that we need to tend to?
I don't believe so. No?
Hearing none, meeting is adjourned.